Please bow and pray in silence. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our last class of the morning. Let's all rise and sing hymn 185. 185. God, please be seated. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we study the book of Nehemiah together, let's all kneel down and pray and ask God to guide us. Let's pray together.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. First, we'd like to praise and thank God that you and I can be here to worship the true and living God together for the next 2 weeks. So the book we're going to study, share with one another, is the book of Nehemiah. I think altogether we have about 12 sessions, right? Altogether, the book of Nehemiah. So the first question, what does Nehemiah mean? Nehemiah, what does it mean? Anyone? Did all of you read the book of Nehemiah? Yes? No? Yes. See, there's a lot of faces that I don't know. Right? Maybe you guys also do not know me. So my name is Vudi, with a V, with a V. So even though some mama call me Yudi, Tudi, like all different kind of name, right? But it's Vudi, right? Vudi. So what does Nehemiah mean? Nehemiah, what does it mean? What's that? Yes, God is comfort, or comfort by God, right? So hopefully, by the time we finish studying the book of Nehemiah, that all of us can be comforted, right? Comforted by God. Let's turn the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. The book of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. So here, God wanted to choose a person to mobilize the whole Israel to rebuild what? Brother Brian. To rebuild what? Yes, the wall of Jerusalem, right? The wall of Jerusalem. So we can see there's millions of people during that time, but God wanted to choose only one person. That was Nehemiah. So during this time, God gave him the opportunity. So Nehemiah said, right? So the king said to Nehemiah, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. So let's think about this. You and I also need to build a wall around the church and also around our hearts. But why is it so important to build a wall? Sister Deborah, why is it so important to build a wall? To protect ourselves from what? From Satan. And from what? Yeah, so from all the things that evil, right? Is it only to protect us from evils or what else? Why do we need to build a wall? Only to protect from outsiders? What else? You guys, you know, most of you guys don't have your own house, right? And you guys don't have children. When you have children, then you think, why do you have to put a fence on, right? And why do you have to build a certain wall for certain things, right? So walls not only to protect from those who come in, but also what else? John, what do you think? What's that? Our own temptation. I think they're recording, but I have to use the mic. So actually, another reason why we have to build a wall is so the chosen people of God, especially the weak one, do not just go astray outside. Just like when we have children. If we have children and they play on in the backyard, you must build a wall. If you don't build a wall, they don't know any better. They will go out, then maybe get hit by a car, right? Or somebody kidnap them, right? So quite often, you and I, when you think about the true church of God, nowadays, our wall is not being built. So because of this, we allow many of enemies come to capture the holy people of God. Not only that, also the chosen people of God leave the church. Because the wall is not high enough. So for them to leave the church is so easy. It's so easy for them to leave the church. So just look at of all of you, right? Why there's so many new faces? Because what happened to the NYTS student last year, the year before? Actually, many of us already gone into the world, right? Have sinned against God. So that's why God allow all of you to come here today, so that you can be inspired by the Word of God, so you can be moved by the love of God, so you can rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Because when there's no wall, it's so easy for the enemy to come in, and it's so easy for the people to go out, especially toward the end days. Right? An enemy can be so fierce, and an enemy can be so many without building the wall around our hearts. Without building the wall around the church, there's no way you and I can stand firm. Because on the end day, Satan will be able to deceive all the people from the four corners of the earth. And it can be, his army can be just like Gog and Magog. Then he will go throughout the whole world to destroy and deceive. But you and I are the chosen people of God. We must rethink what we need to do. If you and I cannot rebuild this wall of Jerusalem, there's no way we can withstand on the end days. So that's why Nehemiah's task was so great. But at the same time, Nehemiah knew that he cannot do it himself. Even though God moved his heart to mobilize the whole Israelites, but he could not do it himself. You know, I just bought a house in Dallas, right? And I was planting some vegetable garden, and I have a fence around my backyard. So I say, oh, that should be good enough, right? So I, you know, put some, I think, some cantaloupes, right? Some tomato plants and some peppers. And the next day I went out, and my cantaloupe plants all gone. It's like, the fence is up, right? What happened to all the leaves on the cantaloupe? And then I find out the fence, right? The rabbits. There's a lot of rabbits in Dallas. I don't know why. There's a lot of them, right? So they just dig underneath, right? The fence, and then come in and just eat all my plants that I have planted. So now I have the thing. I have to build another fence around the vegetable, right? So quite often it's like this. Our enemy always can be able to find the weakness in our church and in our hearts. So that's why our fence cannot be only one fence, two fence. But three fences, right? Let's turn to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Chapter 4, verse 12. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. So how many enclosements is this? How many enclosements is this? How many? How many? You can just yell out loud, right? How many? Three, right? Three. Three. Firstly, a garden enclosed. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. So why is it so important for this garden to be enclosed? Because if we read verse 13, right? Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, fragrance honey with sparknut, verse 14. Sparknut with saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. You can see. The reason why this garden needs to be enclosed with three enclosements, because everything in this garden is so beautiful. So beautiful. Just like when after we are baptized. After we are baptized, in the eyes of God, we become righteous and pure. And everything from our hearts is so lovely. But if we do not build the enclosement, at least three enclosements, then it's so easy for the enemy to come in to destroy all this enemy, all the things that is good inside our hearts. That's why, look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So you see, right? If this garden has no fence or enclosement, then the foxes can just come in to ruin all the garden, right? Because the foxes, they belong to what? The canine family, right? They're part of dog's family. And what do? When dogs go into the garden, what do? They urinate all over it, right? If they urinate all over, what happened to all the beautiful plants and garden flowers? What happened? All be destroyed and smelly, right? And smelly. You know, quite often when I take my little dog out, right? But it's sad, she passed away about 2 months ago, right? She's old. But usually when I take my dog out, if I try not to bring her go to the bathroom the same spot all the time, right? Why? Because every time she go in the same spot, then that grass become all dead, that area, right? So people will know, oh, that my neighbor always bring his dog to that spot, right? Killing the grass. Right? So I had to bring her to different places. And usually I try to bring her where the sprinkler, the most powerful, right? They have a sprinkler, right? So we just wash it away, right? Wash it away. If not, there's many spots in the clear, right? It's all dead. When you look at the garden and when you look at the grass, right? It doesn't matter how green the grass are, but if there's only 2-3 spots that is all brown, then the garden look junk. Look out there now, right? It's all brown, right? That's the first thing I saw when I walked from the house to here, like, hey, what happened to all the grass? Why is it all dry and dead, right? I didn't even see all the other green grass around, right? All I see was the dead grass. So really reflect and think about our hearts. Our heart is not something ordinary. Why? Because God has washed our sin away. So because of this, we must try very hard to build this wall. So we build the wall. Then Satan cannot come in. And we ourselves do not go out. Why? Because the wall will protect us. I remember one time when I was in Ghana, right, Pandu district. And Ghana, you know, our brother and sister, quite often they have midnight prayer. And most of them are farmers. So, but most of the nights, after they go home, after dinner, around midnight, they would come together and pray. And when they pray, then they wait until the sun rise. When the sun rise, then they all go to work. Can you imagine that? Can you guys do all that, right? Almost every day, that's what they do. So one time, these two police officers were walking on the street. And all of a sudden, they saw our church was on fire, right? On fire. So the police officer was thinking, wow, we have to save this church, right? So he's running toward the church. And when he tried to run to the church, no matter how hard he tried to run, he cannot reach the church. Then he just gave up and just went home, right? And then the next day, he saw one of our workers there, say, hey, how's your church? What happened last night? It's all burned up. I saw these two pillars of fire, right? And the workers say, no, it's still there. We were all praying last night. But with their prayer, God showed them a power, right? There's two walls of fire. So even though the policeman tried to reach the church no matter what, he cannot, right? So the Holy Spirit inside of us. Remember when the Israelite, right, came out of Egypt, after the 10 plagues, and then the Red Sea was in front of them, and then the Egyptian soldier were behind them, right? They all were yelling and screaming, right? You bring us out here to be killed, to be drowned. Then God sent what? Pillars of fire, right? To protect them from the enemy. Really? This is the wall that you and I should build. Built by the Word of God, built by the Spirit of God, and only then that you and I can withstand our enemies. Let's go back to Nehemiah. So now that we know how important it is to build this wall, but we must make a determination, right? I know many of you study very hard, right? Really, all of you probably very bright. I know many of you are very smart, right? Go to a very good school. You put so much effort in studying. But when it comes to reading the Word of God, when it comes to prayer, if you only put a quarter of an effort in prayer and reading the Bible, you and I will build a very strong wall. But we don't. Right? Many of us go to school all days and study all day, right? Maybe sleep 1-2 o'clock in the morning. But how about praying and reading God's Word? Of course, it's nothing wrong to study hard, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to reading the Word of God and building the wall around our hearts, we should try even harder. So that's why, you know, like I told my niece, when you go to college, your goal is to get all C's, right? Get all C's. But in Christ, make sure you get all A's. Because even you get all C's in school, but if you get A in Christ, Christ will bring you to many places, give you many opportunities. There's many PhDs out there, right, without a job, right? Without a job. That's why we must continually to rely on God. Study hard, work hard, but more importantly, pray and read the Bible even more than anything at all. Statistics have shown, right, those who go to vacation for 2 weeks, how long do they need to prepare? What do you guys think? Who have gone on vacation, 2 weeks vacation before? Or none of you, or some of you. So how long do usually people prepare for 2 weeks of vacation? How long? It's really amazing, right? They take 1 year to prepare 2 weeks of vacation. You and I, we are planned to go for eternal life. And how long are we preparing for it? Don't think that the heavenly kingdom is so easy to get in. I'm telling you, it's very difficult. Because our Lord Jesus Christ said, the gate is very narrow. Right. But very few will find it. And you and I are the few ones who find it. But quite often, we're not willing to go into this gate. Because it's too narrow. Even though we find it already. Because the wide gate is easier. Why? Because everybody else going through it. Why not? Right. So that's why to build this gate around Jerusalem is not an easy thing. To build this wall around Jerusalem is not an easy thing to do. But we have no other choice but to do it. If we want to enter the heavenly kingdom, if we want our church to be strong, we must build this wall. But how do we do it? How do we do it? Chapter 2, verse 4. Nehemiah, so I prayed to the God of heaven. There's no other way. There's no other way to build this wall besides praying to God. If we don't pray to God, there's no way we can build a wall that can withstand Satan. Right? Earlier in Pastor Huang's class, right? He read chapter 6 in Ephesians. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against spirituality, right? The wickedness of the heavenly places. This is what you and I are fighting. So don't think the things of this world, right, can be able to withstand Satan. There's no way. There's no way. So that's why we must refocus on our spirituality. But nowadays, right? Where's the first church in the United States? What church was the first church in the United States? Anybody know? Hawaii, right? From what year? Huh? 19 what? Close, right? I think a little bit later, 37 or 39, right? Can you imagine our church been here since 1939, just per se? And how many members do we have now? How many members right now in the directory? Hmm? How many? You guys never read the directory? About 2,500, right? And within this 2,500, many brothers and sisters are wounded. Right? Are wounded. So maybe truly the one is stay healthy, maybe 500. But even then, we are pushing it. Right? We are pushing it. Just think about this. That's why some of the brothers and sisters lose their faith. Why? Because look at it, we're the true church of God. Why we haven't increased any numbers at all, right? The number is still so little. That's why you're the generation to rebuild this wall, to mobilize the faith of this generation so they can draw back to God, so you can rebuild Jerusalem. It's your generation. That's why God guided all of you here, right? Just like Pastor Ho shared with us during a prayer session. Right? Don't think we're only here to study God's word. But we must go out to serve God. This is the most important thing, right? It doesn't mean we all have to go out and preach. No, different kind of work in church. But if we don't do it, then there's no way that you and I can be able to withstand the evil one. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hezekiah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year as I was in Shushan, the Shittendale, verse 2. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So here, right? The month of Chislev, what month is that? Anybody know? What month is that? What month is that? Anyone? It's a month of March, right? It's a month of March. Okay. Why do we want to know this? Because later on, we can see in chapter 2, verse 1, then he went to the month of Nisan, right? Then we can see that is the month of July, right? So for March, April, May, June, July, say 6 months. Okay, 6 months. But here, who was Nehemiah, right? Who was Nehemiah? Who was Nehemiah? Let me see. So I got to call our names here, huh? Jasmine Key. Jasmine Key? Anybody? Is Jasmine here? Yes. Nehemiah. Who was he? If I ask him, who is Nehemiah? What's that? Yeah, he's a cupbearer, right? Cupbearer. What's that mean, a cupbearer? He's a drunkard? He's always drinking? What's that? Okay. Okay. He's not like, he served the king in what manner, right? He drink with the kings all the time, right? So actually, he's a king cupbearer. This means before the king taste anything, right? He had to taste it first, right? So this means Nehemiah was a trustworthy person. Right? The king trusts him with his life. Right? This is Nehemiah. And during this time, where did he live? During this time. Where did he live? Just yell out, right? Where does he live? Where did he live during this time? Yeah, it's in the king castle, right? In the king castle. He lived in a palace. Right. What about his fellow brethren? Where is his fellow brethren? Where did they live? With him? Where did they live during this time? What's that? Yes. They were captive, not where they lived. They were captive under bondage under Babylonians. So during this time, they probably considered third waves, right? All the people came back from captivity. So that's why he went and asked Hanani, his fellow brethren, right? Concerning the Jews who had escaped. Then concerning Jerusalem. And then what did his fellow brethren say? Look at verse 3. And they said to me, the survivor who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So what this tells us right here? Because they under control of the Babylonians, right? Because they're under the bondage of Babylonians. So the Jews, I mean the people, the chosen people of God, they were under great distress and reproach. How about us nowadays? Are we also under control of the Babylonians? Babylon, who represent Babylon nowadays? Huh? Who? Who? What's that? Huh? Yes, yeah, the world. Book of Revelation, right? Babylon represent the world, and the world is Babylon. So ask ourselves this question. Are we under captivity of Babylon? And how do we know if we're under captivity of Babylon? How do we know? Because our lives will be in great distress and reproach. That's how it is. Right? So think about this. We are the chosen people of God. Our life should be full of joy, full of peace, full of power. But if we allow Satan to capture our hearts, then our life will fall of distress and reproach. If you have no joy, we have no peace, and only thing we focus on in this world are the things of this world. It should not be like this. But Satan is powerful compared to us, you and me. But Satan is nothing compared to our God. So it's a no-brainer for us to use God to fight against Satan. But if you and I are always captive under the things of this world, there's no way you and I will have strength. That's why sometimes you can see young brethren, right? Young brothers addicted to smoking pot, right? Addicted to drinking, right? Addicted to pornographic. This is the sign of being captive under Babylonian. Even sisters too, right? Some sisters become so depressed, right? Some of you are suicidal, right? How can the chosen people of God have suicidal thoughts? They should not be. Because where God is, there's freedom. Where God is, there's no depression. But why do we have these kind of feelings? Right? Of, you know, wanting things from the world. And we need the things of this world because Satan become our king over our hearts. And why? Because the wall of Jerusalem are broken down. And why? Because the gates of Jerusalem are broken down. So you and I must rebuild it. There's no other way. I'm not saying it's only for you, also for me, and also for the whole church. That's why here, right? Hanani, the brethren say, look, the people who's under captivity, they're in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. If the people are in great distress and reproach, who's going to fix the wall? Nobody. If you and I, under the control of Satan, how are we going to rebuild the church? There's no way. There's no way. Trying to keep ourselves alive is hard enough already. Never mind going out there and rebuild the church for God. But we have no other choice but to do it. Because one day you will have your children. Right? You have your own family. And do you also want your children to be under control of Satan? If not, let's build the wall of Jerusalem together. And how do we build this wall of Jerusalem? First, just think about this. Right? Nehemiah, he lived in a palace. His life was very comfortable. Why would he go to ask his fellow brethren, right, what's going on with them? Quite often when you and I come to church, we say hi, you know, hi, hello to everybody, right? Do we ever sit down and talk to a brethren who's, you know, in trial and tribulation and really care for them, right? And show love toward them? The first way to build this wall of Jerusalem, we must build it with love. Because if we don't use love as a material to build this wall becomes very weak. That's why Nehemiah God chose him. Why? Because Nehemiah was full of love. He lived in the palace, eat with the king, drink with the king, but his heart, his mind are with the chosen people, with his fellow brethren. Why? Because they're under bondage. That's why he went there and he asked them, what's going on? Not only his mind and his heart with the fellow brethren, his heart is his mind also with Jerusalem. You know, every time we kneel down and pray, who do we pray for? And what do we pray for? Yes, we can pray for many people. We can pray for many things. But the two most important things you and I should pray for is our brethren. Is also the church of God. These are two things we should always pray for. Yeah, it's good you can pray for Obama, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? So make life easier, right? But the chosen people of God and the church of God, these are the two things that no one can live without. Because on the end days, God will use you and I to fight against Satan. On the end day, God will use this church to save mankind. So that's why you and I must rebuild it. Rebuild it. When I first came to Christ, right? Yes, I see one church, two churches are weak in faith. But some other church also very strong in faith. But now every church I go to, every one of us are so weak. It's very sad. So God is counting on your generation, right? Because most of you are so gifted in many different ways. But you must have the heart, you must have the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ so you can love one another and have a love for the church. So when Nehemiah went out and he heard Hanani say to him, yes, the people of God are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also are broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Then what did Nehemiah do? Thank you for telling me. I'll see you later, right? Come visit me at the palace sometime. Sometimes you and I do this, right? When we come to church, we see our brethren, we ask them, hey, hi, how are you? And then before they can answer you, you already left already, right? This is not love, right? It's not love. When we see someone really have a sour face when they come to church, right? Their shoulders seem so many things on it, right? We got to go and try to relieve them. But sometimes we release in them, we ourselves need to take the burden, right? And sometimes it's not easy. That's why you must be spiritually fit. If we're not spiritually fit, we cannot help others, right? Just like for me, right? All my, you know, because I have my wife, my niece live in the house, right? They're all women, right? It doesn't matter how strong they are, they're always going to be weaker than me, right? Because they are women, right? So what happens if I'm as weak as them and they need to do something, right? Oh, can you open this bottle for me, right? And I go there and try to open it, I can't do it, right? Then who else gonna do it? Right? Just like, you know, when they try to take the trash out, right? It's heavy and stuff. I'm the man, I have to go and do it, right? Spiritually speaking, we also have to be like that, every one of us, right? Yes, maybe physically women cannot be stronger than men. Very few women, right, can be stronger than men. Yeah, it's true, is it true? It's true, right? If women are stronger than men, we all be really scared, right? Right? But actually, brother, sometimes brother being Asian, sometimes you're not too strong here, right? That's why Jeremy Lin, right? Played, 3 months later, got hurt, right? He need to bulk up, right? Because he's a god, right? He need to be strong, right? But spiritually speaking, you don't need to be a man to be strong, right? Most of the church members, actually the women are the stronger one. They always praying, right? They always there at seminar, right? But sometimes too strong, guys speak a lot too, right? Too strong, speak too much, right? That's not good here. You gotta humble yourself too, right? There's many things, right? But you and I must work together, right? So when we see our brother and sister in great distress, we must help one another. This is love, right? But the problem is we can never help one another because we are also weak ourselves. This cannot be so, right? this cannot be so. So here in verse 4, right? Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. So it was when I heard this word that I sat down and wept. Can you imagine this, right? This is love, brothers and sisters. When he heard this word, he sat down and he wept. And then what else? And he mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This is how we rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. We rebuild it with love. It doesn't matter what language we speak. Love is a universal language. And quite often, love does not require language, but rather action. Rather action. So this means you and I, we must paint this whole church with the love of Jesus Christ. So anyone who comes here, any brothers and sisters who are weak in faith, when they come here, they can be revived, right, through love. You know, quite often people ask me because, you know, I'm English speaking only, right? I don't speak Chinese. So they often ask me, how do you do it, right? How do you last for this long, right, in TJC, right? Because statistics have shown, right, 3 to 5 years, those who only English speaking, they're no longer in church, right? Why? And people say what? Because we are too Chinese, right? We are too Chinese. Because we speak only Chinese, right? And things like that, right? Of course, we can bring many excuses why we leave the church. But if we truly look at the church in a positive eyesight, we can see many things very positive, right? There's so much love in our church, but quite often we choose not to see it. But we rather choose things that is negative. Yes. I mean, our culture, sometimes, yeah, there's a lot of things in church that is not right. Right? We are not so sensitive to other culture. It's true. It's true. But that's not the reason why we come to church, right? I remember the first time I went to the toilet, right? And there's a sign there, right? It said, do not throw toilet paper into the toilet, right? Most of you, maybe you're not, you look at me like I'm crazy, right? You know, that for any Westerner, they feel that is crazy. After you use the toilet paper, right, you throw it away. You don't throw it next to the bin where you're sitting, right? That is disgusting, right? Really? But for us, sometimes we feel there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like doing evangelism, right? Evangelism, like, we don't bring fish soup head, right, to church, things like that, right? And one time during a seminar, one of the brethren, Brother Duran, right, Duran, the smelly fruit. Yeah, that thing is smelly, right? And I remember they opened in the hallway, right, trying to, you know, get away from the area where people are. That thing stung the whole church, right? Of course, things like that happens. Why? Because we're Asian, right? I like Duran, right? I like stinky tofu, right? But think this way, right? Because my mom, she's Greek, right? And I was adopted when I was younger. So one time she came over my house and I was cooking jasmine rice. Jasmine rice. She came and she's like, ooh, what is that smell, right? To her, it smells, even though jasmine rice to us, right? Like kimchi, right? Actually, people think kimchi smells really bad, right? But for me, I think it smells really good, right? Because I like it, right? And most Korean probably think it smells really good, right? Yes, right? Right? But it doesn't mean anybody else is going to think it smells good too, right? Like Vietnamese have the fish sauce, right? Fish sauce. Anybody eat fish sauce before? Yeah, it's smelly, right? But it's good, right? But you give it to any Westerners, Americans, there's no way they're going to like that thing, right? Unless they're married to an Asian, a Vietnamese wife or something like that, right? They are trained, right? There's many things. But we don't come to church. Really, we don't come to church to let those things bother us, right? Think about this, right? Every week we come to church only, what, Friday and Saturday, right? And we listen to maybe the most 3 sermons, right? If you only eat 3 meals a whole week, you're going to be starved to death. So why spiritually, you and I always think that, oh, when we come to church, we should gain all a meal for the whole week. No way. No way. During the weekdays, you also must eat your own food, right? Cook your own food. So that's why for any English-speaking members, I always share with them, your meal is not when you come to church to listen to the Word of God, right? Of course. If you can eat from there, it's good, right? But even if there's no food, it's okay. Why? Because you're already full from the whole week already, right? Why? Because you eat your own food already. So we cannot use the excuse, oh, they speak in Chinese and things like that, right? If that's the case, this means you only eat one meal or two meals the whole week, that's it. That's why you're starving to death, right? It cannot be like that, right? Most of the sermon I've heard in TJC, all in Chinese. All in Chinese, right? But I'm still here, right? Because I also have to eat my own food, right? I cook my own food, right? The same thing. Don't blame on the person here, or they're not eloquent in speaking, right? This and that, right? No. This is only when you come to church. For me, it's like a dessert, right? A dessert. Sometimes you don't like, not every dessert you're going to like, right? What dessert you like every dessert, brother? Ice cream. You like ice cream the best, right? So when you come to church, no way they can have ice cream every week, right? What's something you don't like? Tomato cake. Yeah, tomato cake, right? But when you come in, if you don't eat that cake for that day, it's okay. Right? You guys understand what I'm saying, right? So you must share this with our brother and sister who only English speaking. Every day we eat three meals. If we eat three meals every single day, then the last day, even if we don't eat anything at all, you'll be okay. You'll be fine. But if you don't eat anything at all, and you come to church expecting that to be fill you the whole week, then sooner or later you will die. That is for sure, right? So for me, since I came to TJC, I always say to myself one thing. If I can learn one thing from church on Saturday, this one thing is something I never learned the whole week. Man, I'm fine. Right? So here, when you're talking about, yes, showing love toward our brethren, right? Quite often nowadays, we think love is all about compromising. No, it's not. Really, we always think, we always have the, you know, the Robin Hood mentality, right? Robin Hood mentality. What do I mean by that, Robin Hood? Sister, what do you think? The Robin Hood mentality. You ever heard that before? Anyone? We always think that Robin Hood, he's such a good person, right? He steals from the rich and gives to the poor. And he's such a great person. So that's what you and I need to do, right? Just like Robin Hood. But what is the problem? He steals from the rich, breaking God's commandment. So if he steals from the rich, it doesn't matter what he do with the thing that he stole. It's all doo-doo, right? Why? Because he breaks God's commandment. So quite often, we as the chosen people of God, we always try to compromise with everything that people do, right? We must show love, we must show love. But meanwhile, we're breaking God's commandment. And we think it's okay. It's not okay. Really think about this. Because quite often we think love is so different from what God wants us to think about love. So this afternoon we continue to study. Let's kneel down and pray and give thanks to Heavenly Father. Let's kneel down and pray together.